33 this morning. If you brought your Bible, Exodus chapter 33. Exodus is real hard to find. You go to Genesis and one more, and you're there. I can repeat those instructions if you need me to. Genesis and keep going to the right just a little bit. Exodus chapter 33, verses 15 and 16. Then he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. For how then can it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by your going with us so that I and your people, may be distinguished from all the other people who are upon the face of the earth?" For whatever reason, it just stood out to me that when Moses said this, every time he said "we," he had to clarify who "we" is. That's interesting. I guess trying to make sure that the Lord didn't leave them out. He knew who specifically he was talking about. It's okay to be specific with the Lord sometimes, right? It's okay to be specific. "Lord, this is what I want. This is what I'm asking you for. I'm not just asking that you heal. I'm asking that you heal entirely. I'm asking you heal permanently. I'm asking that the healing is for good. I'm asking for this blessing. I'm asking for this, God." Being specific is not a bad thing. This morning, we're going to continue in our series of heart trouble. And this morning, we're talking about heart rhythm. Because we had no drummer this morning, we're going to talk about rhythm. And I didn't know we weren't going to have a drummer when I knew we were going to talk about rhythm. But it just works out great because they did a great job. I mean, they did a fantastic job. Right? I mean, it was just powerful worship. And it was, man, that was just, it was amazing. And I thought to myself at one point, if we're this good without a drummer, oh Lord, I don't know what we would be if Curtis had been here. I mean, I don't know if we just had that little extra rhythm there. I don't even know what would have happened. Lord Jesus. But there's a rhythm of the heart. Your heartbeat has a rhythm to it, right? And it's supposed to, it's designed to beat on rhythm. At the same, like you could, it's supposed to beat in a way that you can count on it. Like it's supposed to just be beat, 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 right? There's supposed to be a rhythm to it, but sometimes that doesn't always happen. Sometimes the heart can get out of rhythm. Sometimes it can have double beats, or there can be pauses in the beats, and suddenly the heart can be out of rhythm. It should be consistent, but sometimes it gets out of that rhythm. And if you think of it this way, we even experienced it a little bit this morning. If you think about your heart rhythm, you can think about the rhythm of a song, and you can think about the clapping to the rhythm of a song. And there's a couple of moments this morning where we like clap, kind of pause. I don't know when to clap next. You know, there those moments, and we've all experienced them. We've all done them, right? I mean, Curtis has been off beat before, not often, but it has happened. And Robert's been off, and you know, musicians, it happens sometimes where you get off. It happens to us as believers sometimes where we get out of rhythm too. I love that Moses is, in a way, he's saying, "God, I want to stay in rhythm with you. I want to stay, you know, like, if you're not going to go with me, God, if you're not going to go with us, then I don't want to go." And as believers, we should 100% have that attitude. Like, before we go on vacation, "Lord, if you're not going to go with us, I don't want to go." Before we go to work, well, some days it would be nice if we could just say, call our boss and say, "Hey, the Lord's not going to be with me today, so I'm going to stay home." Right? The Lord said he wasn't going to be there today, so I'm just going to stay in bed. Right? I'm self-employed, so, you know, sometimes I have called my boss and said, "Hey, boss, I'm staying home today." You know, I told my youngest recently, because he was talking about his boss. And I said, man, my boss is a jerk too. He said, yeah, I've had a couple of run-ins with him. It's true. But we've all experienced moments in worship that was out of time, out of beat, out of rhythm. And sometimes I've experienced entire songs where everything was out of rhythm and everything was off, and you could just feel it. You could sense it. And everything about you is going, is this song going to end? Do they know that they're out of rhythm? Like, do they know that the beat is way off? Do they hear how out of pitch or out of tune or out of time they are? So not you, Robert. I'm talking about other people. I'll make sure I'm not running off my worship leader. Not today. In the heart, there's this condition that they call arrhythmia. And it's a condition where the heartbeat is not consistent. It's out of time. It's either too fast, too slow, or there are, you know, different beats of the heart that aren't supposed to be there, or not as many beats as there should. There's a condition, and it's called arrhythmia, where there's a problem with the rhythm of the heart. And I think that there's a spiritual arrhythmia, too, that we can experience, where our heart is out of time, out of rhythm with the heart of God. That's why I loved what Moses said when he said, if you're not going to go with me, God, I'm not going to go. If you're not going to go with us, Lord, then we don't want to go anywhere. I'd rather be where I am knowing you're here than be anywhere else knowing that you're not. Right? And so there's this thing that we have to figure out and be aware of. Is there a time where we're out of rhythm with God, that we're out of his presence, out of his focus, or where he just isn't around us anymore, where we have used to sense him and feel him and know he was there and could say, absolutely no question, God is here with me. God was here with me in this. And then there are other times where we could say, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God was not with me there. That I had gotten out of rhythm with him and I had walked away and I was going my direction, not God's direction. And I think it's really only when you experience the offbeat of music, or when you have a moment when you experience the offbeat of your heart, that you understand what that really feels like. Right? When your heart flutters suddenly and it kind of gives you a little bit of a wake up, like kind of a that was weird. I don't know what that was. That feels different. And it can be a little scary for us. I wish it were more scary for us when we were out of rhythm with the Lord. I wish that it was one of those things that we recognized earlier and did something. You know, some of us might have heart arrhythmia and have never gone to the doctor for it. Some of us may have spiritual arrhythmia and never gone to the great physician for it. We're out of time. We're out of beat with the Lord. And yet, we're not doing anything about it. When we realize that we haven't heard from him in a while, when we realize that we haven't really sensed his presence around us in a bit, it should honestly, it should terrify us. Because I can't imagine going a day without him. I can't imagine going a week without him, without taking the time to spend with him and to get my heart back into rhythm with him. I can promise you that there have been moments, there have been times that I have felt that lack of his presence, that where I have not heard from him or there where I have just been so out of rhythm with Him, where I thought I was going in the right direction, and then I found myself in a place, and like it wasn't till I got to that place that I turned around and looked and thought, oh wow, He's not anywhere to be found. And so I need to double back. And I need to get back to that place where He was. I think a church is a great place for that. And I believe and hope that this morning is one of those moments for some of us. Moses refused to go without His presence. We ought to do the same. He wanted to stay in absolute rhythm with God. There's this verse, Ruth 1, verse 16. Ruth said, don't urge me to leave you or turn back from following you, for where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Wanted to stay in rhythm. Right? This is Ruth saying, I want to be where you are, Naomi, because I know that you know God. I know that you're close to Him. I know you have a relationship with Him, and that's what I want. I want to be where you are. I want your God to be my God. I want your people to be my people. I want everything about you and me to be in rhythm so that we are so closely bound together. You know, Naomi, if Naomi said we, Naomi would say Ruth and I. Right? Like Moses would specify, you, when I say we, God, I'm saying your people and myself, right? Naomi saying that same kind of thing to the Lord. Lord, when I say we, I'm talking about Ruth and me. Ruth and myself. Ruth and I is probably more correct for you English majors out there, of which I'm not one. But that this verse, it speaks to me of the relationship between Ruth and Naomi. And it's the type of relationship that I want, I think that the Lord wants with us. That we say, God, where you go is where I go. Where you lead, I will follow. Where you stay, I'll stay. That was one of the great things. And I think probably one of the reasons that Moses said what he said in Exodus was that the only time they went was when the cloud moved. Right? That when the cloud moved, they packed up and started moving. When the fire at night started moving, they moved. And if it stayed, they stayed. And what they found was every time they did that, every time they only moved when the cloud moved, every time they only moved when the fire moved, that they found blessing everywhere they went. That's where the manna was. That's where the manna and quail would be, was where God was. And so there became this, I guess in a way it was a dependence upon Him. Heaven forbid we became dependent upon the Lord. I mean, goodness gracious, that would be a terrible thing, wouldn't it? When we just depended on God for whatever we wanted or needed, or we knew we were going to need, when we just became dependent upon Him. He's faithful. He was faithful then. He's faithful now. His faithfulness hasn't changed, and it never will change. He has always been faithful, and He always will be faithful. Right up until the very end, He's going to be faithful. So we should say, God, where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. That might be harder sometimes than anything else. Some of us are goers, right? Some of us are just goers. It's like we want to go, want to go, want to go. And so we say, yeah, God, where you go, I'm going to go. But sometimes God says, yeah, but where I stay, you need to stay. And if I tell you, you need to stay in this place, you need to stay in this place. And we need to get better about hearing stay. I think some of us are already good at hearing go. Some of us hear go before God says go. In track, they call that a false start. in football, they call that offsides. Don't want to be offsides with the Lord. I want to stay in step with Him. In fact, I'm trying real hard to stay in step with Him. Real hard. There's a couple of people in the church right now that know better what I'm talking about. I'm excited because of what I see God doing. But I don't want to get ahead of Him. Right? I don't want to be four steps ahead of Him. Because if I'm four steps ahead of Him, it's going to be real easy to get eight steps ahead of Him. And if I'm eight steps ahead of Him, it's going to get easy to get 20 steps ahead of Him. And if I'm that far ahead of Him, can I even hear Him anymore or see Him or feel Him? I don't want to be that. I'd rather be a step behind Him than a step ahead of Him. Because if I'm a step behind Him, He's leading. Right? If I'm two steps behind Him, He's still leading. Right? But I want to be right there on His trail. I'd be okay with a half a step. But I don't want to be ahead. I'd rather be ahead and not behind. I hear Ruth, I hear Moses, and I hear desire to stay in relationship and be in relationship. And that's what God's wanting from us, is our desire to be in relationship with Him. His desire is already to be in relationship with us. It was there from the beginning. It was there when Jesus was on the cross. That's why He was on the cross, was because God had a desire to be in relationship with us. He had a desire to know that, for us to even know that when we left this place, there was another place prepared for us. Jesus Himself told His disciples, "Where I go, you can't follow right now. But I'm going to prepare a place." So as I started thinking about rhythm, I started to think about, I'm pretty critical of myself. There's not a bigger critic of me than me. Some of y'all think you're doing a good job of criticizing me. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But I'm a bigger critic because I think about every word I say and every time I should have said something different than I said. Because I want to do my best for the Lord. And I don't want anyone to mistake anything that I say for me saying something else. Sometimes I preach one message and somebody will see me and say, "Boy, Pastor, that was a great message. And I got this out of it." And I thought, "Did you have headphones in listening to somebody else? Or because I didn't say anything about that." But I know that the Lord speaks differently than I speak. And sometimes I say one thing and somebody else gets something totally different out of it. And that's okay. Because I know the Lord's speaking, and that's it. That's all that matters to me. I'd rather Him speak every word and I could just sit there. Because I would better know it was from Him than from me. So I think about these people, that these stories in the Bible where I know somebody was out of step with the Lord, and there are a ton of them. Because it's really easy to get out of step with the Lord. Numbers chapter 20. We started with Moses. We're going to stay with Moses. Numbers chapter 20, verse 8. "Take the rod and your brother Aaron." Or, "And you and your brother Aaron, assemble the congregation and speak to the rock before their eyes, that it may yield its water. You shall thus bring forth water from them out of the rock, and let the congregation and their beasts drink." Okay? There's a very, very key word in this scripture. He said, "Speak to the rock." Now before, if you go backwards, he hit the rock with the staff and brought water out of it. Okay? So for Moses had already had an idea of what God's going to do. Right? We need water. There's a rock. God's talking about a rock and water. And I got my hand. He said, take your staff with me. Okay, Lord, I know what I got to do here. You ever give your kids directions and they heard part of it? You ever give your husband directions and they only heard part of it? You ever give your wife directions? I got to bring it full circle here. Moses already had a frame of reference. He already knew. God said, you need water. There's a rock. Take your staff. And that's when Moses stopped listening. Because God said, speak to the rock, and I'll bring forth water. But Moses got out of step with the Lord, said, okay, Lord, I know what we're doing here. And the Lord's still speaking when Moses is walking away with his staff and Aaron. Well, I wasn't done talking yet. And it's amazing to me, Moses had done such a good job staying in step with the Lord. I mean, he had done such a good job. But it's like he had gotten so accustomed and so used to, you know, like your kids hear you when you start talking. Charlie Brown, all the adults in Charlie Brown. Right? That's all they hear. And we know it as parents, right? That's why we say it 2 and 3 times. Or 8 times. Leave notes. Send text messages. Emails. Create Instagram posts. Just something that they might actually hear and listen and get it. And actually remember to take the trash out. You know? Yeah, Facebook event. I'm creating a Facebook event so that they'll remember to take the trash out. That's bad. That's really bad. Stop looking at me that way, Tammy. But think about this. How amazing would it have been? If you think about everything that Moses, that God did through Moses, okay? You think about everything. You think about all of the signs that he gave before Pharaoh. You think about getting to the Red Sea, planting his staff, and the waters parting, right? You think about God calling him up onto the mountain to talk to him, and him coming down from the mountain with a glowing face, with like the most amazing tan that you ever seen in your life. Just glowing. And striking the rock and bringing the water out. And all of these things that God had done through Moses. And they were all amazing. And they were so many of them done in front of so many people. And how much greater would the story of Moses be if he had just spoken to the rock and water came out? All he had to do was the thing that God told him to do. That's it. Speak to the rock and I'll bring water out. But instead of hearing all the instructions, instead of taking the time to make sure that he stayed in rhythm with God, staying right there in beat with him, he heard part of the instructions and did what he thought he needed to do instead of what God told him to do. Verses 9 and 10. Moses took the rod from before the Lord, just as he had commanded him. Took the rod, got it with me, and Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly before the rock, and he said to them, listen now, you rebels, shall we bring forth water for you out of this rock? Verse 11. Then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came forth abundantly, and the congregation and their beasts drank. The people thought, men, we're so blessed. Moses hit the rock twice and we got water. How amazing is Moses? How great is God? And the whole time, God's got his head in his hand, just thinking, Moses. Oh, if you'd just done what I told you to do. If you'd only listened to me and did what I told you to do. If you just waited for the next beat. If you just waited for the rhythm. If you just waited. You'd only waited. And I find the irony in verse 9. Where Moses says, listen now, you rebels. You that don't do what the Lord says to do. You with your rebellious spirit. You who don't want to listen to the Lord. Pot, kettle, black. Verse 12. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you've not believed me to treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. All you had to do, Moses, was speak. When I told you to speak, to be more willing to speak than to hit. Be more ready with your words than with your rod. God can do more with words than we can do with a rod. He can do more with just his word than you and I could do with sledgehammer, with bulldozer, with TNT, or C4, or an atomic. He can do more with just his word, because his word is what began everything. His word has that power. And if Moses had trusted the power of God's word, church, could we trust the power of God's word a little bit? Just a little bit. So that when God says speak, we speak. But if God doesn't say speak, go mute. Don't be speaking for the Lord if the Lord's not telling you to speak. I'm stubborn in this way. Because I've had people in my ministry try to get me to prophesy. Just speak it. Just prophesy. And I'm just sitting there, just waiting. Because the Lord hadn't said anything to me yet. And they just say, just speak it. Just speak it. Just speak it. Well, I ain't got nothing to speak. Well, just speak it. Well, I'm waiting on the Lord. Just speak. You tell me speak one more time, and you and me are going to have a problem. Because I'm not going to speak if the Lord doesn't say speak. I don't want to say boo if the Lord's not in it. We have to stay in rhythm with him. And when he speaks, speak. If he's not speaking, hush. If he's not saying something, don't try to say something for him. You see somebody doing something and the Lord doesn't tell you, hey, you need to say something to them. Make sure it's the Lord. Make sure it's the Lord. But if it's not the Lord, don't do it. Because there are consequences to getting out of the rhythm with God. There just are. There were for Moses. I'm not talking fire and brimstone. I'm not talking, you know, you get out of rhythm with the Lord and you're going straight to the bad place, or I'm not saying anything like that. I'm just saying that there are consequences. Moses didn't get to lead the people into the promised land because he got out of rhythm with God and tried to do something God didn't tell him to do. But I don't believe that means Moses was completely out of relationship with the Lord. He just got out of rhythm with him. Jonah. chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, and paid the fee and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. The presence of God is here, and Jonah's going this way and knows it. Not like he stumbled. Not like his compass wasn't working. His GPS didn't give him bad directions. In fact, if he had GPS, I'm pretty sure it would have been saying, turn around, turn around, turn around, turn around. But he purposely, intentionally went away from the presence of the Lord. So far out of rhythm, he's 2.5 beats behind. He ain't ever going to catch up. He's so far out of rhythm with the Lord because he purposely, intentionally, knowing what he did, said, I'm going to go the other direction. Like the old, I'm on the show, I'm old, okay, it's fine. Bugs Bunny cartoon. If I do it, I get in trouble. But I do it anyway. I know it's not the right way. He knew. God told him. That's the most amazing thing to me in this story is that he knew God spoke to him. Because you keep reading the story, he eventually says, I knew you were going to be merciful if I went to Nineveh. I knew you were going to show mercy to these people. I knew it. So I didn't want to go. Because I didn't want you to show mercy to those people because they didn't deserve mercy. That's how you know you're out of beat with the Lord. When people no longer deserve your mercy or the mercy of the Lord, you're out of beat with Him. When it's more important to you that they're punished than they receive mercy, you're probably out of beat with the Lord. Nineveh, they were terrible. I mean, they were horrible. So far out of relationship with God. It's so easy for us to look at people and say, you're so far away from God. You don't deserve His mercy. And if God tried to send us, would we go? Would we go? Or we want to stay in beat with the Lord. We want to stay in the beat with the Lord if He says, go, go. Now, I'm not telling you that you need to go to Las Vegas tomorrow and start street ministry. I'm not saying that. Unless the Lord's saying that. If the Lord's saying that, you better get a ticket and go. But you better make sure it's the Lord saying that. Because that's not going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. Woo! But I'm not sure it's going to be fun. Jonah heard the rhythm. He heard the beat. He heard the song. He knew which way he was supposed to go. But yet, he decided to choose a whole different song with a whole different timing, a whole different direction. The Lord's telling him to sing Holy Spirit, and Jonah's saying, I'd rather sing Amazing Grace. Just a totally different song. Going a totally different direction. and he chose to leave God's presence. And it's surprising to read that somebody intentionally chose to go the other direction. Heard God, said, nope, going the other way. It's really hard for me to get that through to my brain and to my spirit. I can't imagine somebody choosing that. But then again, it shouldn't be so surprising. Because I've done it. Because I have done it probably more times than I could count. And really, honestly, more times than I even want to think about. Where I knew this is what I should have done. Because I knew everything in me was telling me, this is the direction of the Lord. This is it. But I can also tell you of a time when I wanted to go a direction, but the Lord wouldn't allow me to go. And where I said, this is the way I go, I want to go, but until the Lord directs me, I'm not leaving and I'm not moving. I've done it both ways. And I'm going to tell you 100%, it was easier to do it the Jonah way. It was easier to walk away from the presence of God than it was to stay in the place that I wanted to move from and to stay there until God said move. It was 100 times easier to go my own direction than it was to stay God's direction. So if you ever tell me that you want to do the easy thing, I'm going to tell you, is that the Lord's thing? Is that the Lord's direction? I'm not ever going to tell you God's direction is the easy way out, because it's not. And I know atheists and agnostics and people who believe that being a believer is the easy way out, because you just blame everything on God. You just say, well, I just trust God. I promise you, I have walked through moments in my life that trusting God was the hardest thing I could do. Where trusting Him and knowing that He was absolutely good when nothing felt good. When He was faithful when I didn't see His faithfulness. When I couldn't point it out to you or tell you, I couldn't find a single thing because of the state of my heart where I could say, yeah, God's good because of this. Where I was so stuck and so just wanted to go my own direction. I always believe there's a way to get back in rhythm. I always believe that there's never a song we can't get back to the beat on. It might take a minute, it might be uncomfortable, but we can get back there. Sometimes, and I've seen Robert do it, sometimes the best thing is to just stop and start over. Oh, wrong key. Oh, let me make this adjustment. Oh, we're not on beat. Oh, hold on. We need to fix this. We need to fix that. The greatest thing to me about our God is that He gives us a new chance every day. His mercies are new every morning. So we can start over every day. It's a fresh start. Whoo, boy, I got out of beat yesterday, but I'm starting a new song today. I got so far away yesterday that I didn't think I was ever going to get back. Praise God, last night when I went to bed, I asked God to forgive me. I asked Him to make everything right and to come back into to beat and to rhythm with me. And so I believe this morning, I'm going to start this morning in rhythm with Him. And when He says go, I'm going to go. But if He says stay, I'm going to stay. And we have to be that diligent every single day, because some days are harder and some days are easier. And it doesn't matter how hard, you got to make the hard choice and do the hard thing and stay in rhythm with Him no matter what. And some days it's going to be easy because you're going to leave your house in the morning like you're going to leave church today, still singing those songs. You deserve the glory and the honor, oh Jesus. But to sing when you don't hear the beat. I admire, in some ways, many ways, I admire Church of Christ that don't have the piano and don't have the musicians and just sing out of their heart. Some of the most beautiful songs can come when there's no instruments because it's 100% from here. We have to sing 100% from here, whether it's music or whether there's not music, whether the beat's on or the beat's off, whether we hear it, whether we don't, whether it sounds like heavy metal in a 50-gallon drum, just noise. We have to get to that place where we find the beat with God. And even if we have to sing our own song, I think God likes a new song. I think He likes to hear a new song. A new song from our heart. A new song from our depth and from our spirit. Our deep crying out unto His deep. I think that's how we know we're in rhythm with Him. We know we're in rhythm with Him when we can see how He is going before us. How we can see that He's preparing the way. I'm telling you, He's doing it over and over and over again for me. Because there are days that I question and days that I wonder and days that I say, Lord, is this the right way? Lord, are we going? Are we doing the right thing here? Lord, is this, Lord, are you're with me here still, right, God? And then I'll tell you a moment, I just about broke down. And just about cried. And I'll probably cry today. Because I checked the mail. And in the mail to the church was a check. Not a big check. For most people, it was not a big check. Most of you will probably spend more on lunch today if you go out to eat lunch. But it was a check from prison. Sorry. I just said, I understand. Man sitting in prison, not coming to church, can't hear the messages. I haven't seen him in years. Don't even know if he would recognize me. But he sent a check to the church from prison. I said, okay, Lord. I hear your rhythm. I hear it. Help me remember that when the days are hard. Help me remember that little thing, huge thing, when it's hard. My question, church, do you hear the rhythm? I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and I'm going to ask you to bow your head. And I'm not going to ask you to come up front because I don't think it's the smart thing to do in the times that we're in. But you can raise a hand and I can pray from right here. And know that if I felt comfortable enough to run over and anoint you with oil, I would do it. And it's not a lack of faith, because I have faith and I trust God. But He also gave me a brain and I want to use wisdom. But if there's anybody here that knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that they've been out of rhythm with the Lord, and you want to hear that beat again, just show me a hand. Yes, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Yes, Lord. Father, I thank you for those hands, God. And I thank you that I believe, God, I stand in faith saying that right now the beat is starting to be heard again. They're starting to look to you and they're starting, God, to right now say, Lord, I want to stay where you stay. I want to go where you go. I want to be where you are and nowhere else, Lord. That you would draw them back. You would speak to them, Lord, and they would hear that rhythm again. To know they're walking in the right way, in the right direction, in the right time, God. Lord, be the cloud by day and the fire by night for them. Be so apparent to them that they'll just sit down when they know you're not moving. That you'll begin to speak to them and they will hear you, Lord. I thank you for those hands. Now, if there's anyone else in this place that's never really been in rhythm with Him, that's never been walking with Him, never been allowing Him to lead them, if there's anybody in this place, I don't care how long you've been going to church, I don't care how long you've been out of church. If you know you've never really been in rhythm with Him, but this morning you would like to get in rhythm, raise your hand. Jesus. It's called salvation. It's called coming into the salvation knowledge of Jesus, knowing and believing that He saved you, that when you leave this earth, you go straight to heaven. Any hand at all. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for, oh God, the examples. I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the way that you have spoken and moved in this place. God, I thank you for the songs we've sung, God. And I thank you for the heart that has been here from the very beginning of this service, Lord. Thank you for bringing us back into rhythm, back into beat with you, God. Help us to continue to stay diligent, Lord, in looking to you and trusting you, God, that we will say, if you don't go, God, if you're not going to go with us, we're not leaving. We're not moving an inch, God. That we would desperately seek you first. Last, everywhere in between, God. Lord, I pray that as we leave here as a church, God, that you continue to move upon us. You continue to lead us in your path, in your way everlasting, God, that you continue to be with us every step of the way. Father, I thank you for your love your grace and your mercy, for your goodness and your kindness. Lord, as we leave this place, I pray that you would bless us, that you would keep us, and that your face would shine upon us. Oh God, and we would truly have rest in your rhythm. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. We should play a song with a beat and leave this place in rhythm. Church, have an amazing day. Thank you so much for being here. May God bless you. Have an awesome lunch. Can't wait to see you again next time. Amen. Oh, here we go again.